day and welcome to this Cigna Autism Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Kristen Martin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Shannon. Welcome, and thank you for calling into Cigna's Autism Awareness Series. My name is Kristen Martin, and I'm the lead clinician for the autism team at Cigna. Due to the format of this call, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of this conference, you will be transferred into a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions on today's presentation. The handout for today's seminar is available online at www.cigna.com/autism. Scroll to the current topic section in the middle of your page and click on today's topic labeled Teaching Safety Awareness to Children with Autism. Please note that not all policies cover today's topic. For more specific information, if your policy covers topics discussed in today's seminar, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Dr. Joyce Chu. Dr. Chu has over 15 years' experience providing one-on-one services, training, workshops, and supervision for parents and professionals working with individuals diagnosed with autism and other developmental disabilities. Dr. Chu serves as the Director of Clinical Services and co-founder of the Center for Behavioral Sciences, providing consultation and behavior analysis services to adults and children with disabilities throughout California. Dr. Chu is also currently the president and board member for California Association for Behavior Analysts. Dr. Chu, thank you for being here today. You are welcome to start your presentation.
Thank you. So today, our topic of discussion is on teaching safety awareness to children with autism. Typically, we do see many children and even adults and individuals with autism lack in specific discriminations for safety awareness. On the PowerPoint slide, I have listed several different type of safety awareness skills, for example, crossing the street appropriately, avoiding situations that might cause physical harm, only following instructions given by familiar people. There are a couple other things that I can also mention about, just kind of keep for your notes. If you would look under safety skills and Google them online, there are tons of them show up. For example, how to be and act aware, calm, and confident, how to get help, how to be safe around household appliances, for example, stove, electricity outlets, how to really set clear and appropriate boundaries, how to stop unwanted teasing and touching, and also how to protect themselves from name-calling and harmful words. There are many, many other skills I can list out for you. For example, when and when not open the door when somebody ring the doorbell, when to call 911, and even something like how to cross the street and or driveways. Today, although we only have limited time, so my presentation will focus mainly on stranger awareness, and just so that everybody is aware that we do really recommend and highly recommend that safety awareness to be taught early in the programming. One of the things that we have always noticed children who participate in ABA services is that they become very, very compliant and they're very pleasant to almost be able to work with anyone sent by the clinical team. But one of the issues that we recently found out from many of the students that we provide services is that they become too compliant in a way that if anyone would go up to them and say, come with me, that for many children or many individuals or even adolescents and adults, would not think twice and would just go with a person. So we have spent a lot of time to research and developing programs that specifically address this particular issue. When we looked back at previous research in this particular area, we have found that one of the research I have listed for you in the PowerPoint slides is by Gambi, Carr, and LeBlanc in 2010. They've used what they call behavioral skill training, BST, with in situ feedback to teach abduction prevention skills. And that in that particular research, they show that all children can acquire skills and maintain skills during 1 month follow-up. So based on that particular research, and obviously there are many, many other research and studies that have been published prior to this particular study, I'd like to go over the two terms that I have mentioned in this particular PowerPoint. One of the terms is called behavioral skills training, or BST. So what BST is a multi-component intervention that consists of these four different steps. One of them is direct instruction. Number two is modeling. Number three is rehearsal. And number four is giving feedback. So, for example, in these studies, individuals with autism were taught to say no when presented with an abduction lure by a stranger. And they were taught to immediately leave and run to a safe area and then immediately report the event to an adult. Later on in this presentation, I will go into more details in terms of how specific these can be taught to anyone diagnosed with autism. But for now, I just like to go over the definition and what exactly it is entailed in a behavioral skills training. And obviously for behavior skills training with providing instruction, modeling, rehearsal, and feedback, we're also used in other area of skill teaching, for example, social skills, as well as an appropriate accepting no or other type of replacement behaviors when addressing problem behaviors as well. So the BST is not strictly just for safety awareness, but if you can see the type of technique are typically very much generalized to teaching other type of skills as well. Another term that is mentioned in these previous research and studies is the in situ training, IST. In situ training, or IST, is a teaching method that skills are trained in a variety of novel locations. So for some of you, you might be very aware of the term generalization. For generalization, most of the time, what we want to do is when we teach a skill, we at the table, for example, or at one specific location with specific materials, for us to program generalization is being able to take the skill and teach that skill across different environment, across different trainers and different materials. So with in situ training, it's very, very similar to generalization training. And typically, when we train something that in using BST, behavioral skills training, we do want to follow up with in situ training immediately. So for the previous research, it shows that both BST and in situ training were very effective. And in the study, it shows that either one of them could be effective in its own right. However, we do get much better scores and higher response, higher correct response rate when our learners receive both in situ training and BST, and specifically receive in situ training immediately after BST. When we teach a skill using instruction, modeling, rehearsal, and feedback at a particular location, and then we move this teaching to novel situations for in situ training, and if the participants were not able to perform the skills in the novel or in more of a natural environment, we do correct their performance right away and give immediate feedback and praise when they do perform accurately in terms of what we want them to do. So not only that, what I was trying to say is that with the studies and with our result, we show that when you can come by in psych training with immediate feedback, we do show the skills. Pretty much all of our students can maintain the skills at 1 month and 3 month follow-up. And so those are some few points to really keep in mind before you design a specific training plan to teach this skill. So today I'd like to talk about sort of our result and our program for two groups of students with autism. The first group, we work with non-vocal teens who are diagnosed with autism. So these are teenager autism student with autism who have no words or very little words. Most of their communication device, they use either communication device or text or sign. And then we have second group, and these are vocal teens who are diagnosed with autism. So the second group are children who or students who have higher verbal abilities. So I like to talk about training for non-vocal learners. And this is especially important because in some of the previous studies, most of the training are done with students who are vocal or who have words in their repertoire. But for us, I would say probably 30 to 40% of students that we serve are using different type of communicative modes. So it is still important for them to learn these safety awareness skills. For these learners, our session typically to teach just this particular skill is 10 minutes per day, and we do teach 7 days per week. And this is not to say that their program is just 10 minutes per day, but this is taking 10 minutes out of their program to teach for 7 days per week. And we conduct a training session both at home and in the community settings. The training materials to start with, we have photos of the immediate family members and photos of people who have similar physical features, and then we also include various types of reinforcers. That's a must. The training, we divided to three phases for this particular group. For phase one, we train learners to receptively identify family members versus strangers using discrete trial teaching format. So what that looked like is we present two pictures. We present that to the learner. One picture is a picture of a familiar or a family member, and the other picture is a picture of a stranger. And we give an instruction, for example, show me mommy, and the learner will have to point, tap, or give the picture of mommy to the instructor. And then we also give different instructions, for example, give me daddy or the brother's or sister's name. But in this case, we wanted to be able to see if the learner can learn to discriminate pictures of familiar people versus stranger. The correct response is definitely followed by reinforcers and praise, and if they were giving incorrect responses, it would follow by a typical no or try again. So I'm thinking most people are very familiar with this type of teaching method. Once we get phase one accomplished, we move on to phase two. So for phase one, our mastery criteria is that the children will need to be able to identify these familiar number versus stranger at 80% and across two different trainers in two consecutive days. So that's our mastery criteria. And once they meet that criteria, we move on to phase two. For phase two, We have an unknown person to give the learner the instruction, come with me, and versus a known person to give an instruction, come with me. So this particular training is more of a behavioral skills training because it is still at the role play and rehearsal stage. So this, we consider this as a behavioral skills training. We present the unknown person, and this is typically somebody who worked for our agency but have never really worked with this particular student. Then when this person will go to the learner and say to the learner, come with me. And if the learner did go with the unknown person, we provide a very loud no, and then no by the known person. And if then at the same time we tell them to turn away from the unknown person and run away from the unknown person by either using the physical or partial physical prompt. And we do this several times and with at least 2 to 3 unknown person. And the same mastery criteria is established before we move on to phase three. Phase three is what we call the in situ training. So the in situ training really at this point is then we will bring the learner to the community setting, either to the park, to the store, or around the neighborhood. And this is a very important part to remember, is the known person or the instructor will kind of walk away. So you set up the situation to where the learner cannot see the known person, and we present an unknown person to go to the learner, and the unknown person will say to the learner, come with me. And what we want to see, the correct response is the learner will turn around and run away from the unknown person. And again, keep in mind, if in this case the learner gives you the incorrect response, which is that if they go with the unknown person, the known person will come out right away and say, give a really loud no, and again, physically prompt the person to run away from the unknown person. Some of the consideration and recommendations come out of our research and our programming is that if you see a learner takes longer to master phase one, which is identifying known and unknown person on the picture, we do recommend to move to phase two and three immediately. We also recommend that you could teach phase one simultaneously with phase two and three. In other words, we start to see that phase one is teaching a slightly different skill than phase two and three, but nonetheless, some children could do both phase one through three, and some children we do have to teach phase one simultaneously with phase two and three. The next session I want to talk about is the training for vocal learners. And again, these are learners who have verbal abilities and will be able to communicate some basic needs and wants and maybe identify people in their environment or items in their environment. The training sessions, again, is we take at least 10 minutes from their session per day, and we teach it 7 days per week. We teach this both at home in the environment, and the similar type of materials that we also use here are photos of immediate family members and people who have similar physical features and various types of reinforcers. For phase one of this training, again, we are teaching the learners to identify family members versus stranger using discrete child teaching method. However, for this particular group, we could ask for expressive responses. So the way that this look like will be the instructor will show two pictures to the learner, a picture of a familiar member and a picture of a stranger. And the instruction we gave is, who is this? So we might show the student, who is this, and they may answer, that's my mom or that's my dad. And we might show a picture of a stranger. We ask, who is it? And we want the learner to say, I don't know, it's a stranger. the correct responses would follow, of course, by praise and reinforcer. And if they don't give correct responses, we do give feedback such as no, try again. So it's a very straightforward, discrete trial type of teaching methodology. For phase two for this group, we train them to identify known versus unknown person. Again, here we use the discrete trial method. We show a picture of a familiar person and we ask the student, do you know him or do you know her? And same thing, we do the same thing to show a picture of an unfamiliar person or a stranger and ask, do you know him or her? And we do want the student to identify that correctly, and our mastery criteria is at least 80%, and that has to be with at least two trainers and across 2 days. And our correct response were followed by reinforcer, and the incorrect ones would provide by immediate feedback such as no and try again. Phase three, then we immediately move into behavioral skills training, BST. We use social skills and role playing to teach this particular under this particular phase. Four types of lures were presented in this particular phase. The first one is the sample come here. The second one is what we call incentive lure, which an example will be if you come with me, I'll give you candy. And then the third type of lure is what we call authority lure. So an example will be your mom tell me to pick you up today, or your mom says it's okay to come with me. And number four type, the fourth type of lure is assistant requests. For example, can you help me to find my dog? And the learner is to respond to say no to the stranger when either one of these lures will present to them. Walk or run away immediately and tell a known person, a parent or a teacher, when the unknown person present any of these lures. And again, this type of training, we do show the social story first, and then we role play, and then we present the unknown person immediately after the role play. One of the things to also keep in mind is even though these are four different types of lures, and I have specific example here, it's also important to provide more than just one type of sample lure or more than just one type of incentive lure. In other words, you wanted to present as many exemplars as possible under each type of lures. Immediately after the BST training, we do an in-situ training, which basically the learners were brought into the community, such as around their neighborhood, in a grocery store, or in the park, and that we want them to generalize the skills out in the actual real setting of the skills that they've learned. So again, here we also present not unfamiliar people to present either one of the lures and with a known person kind of hiding and look at it, look at the student. And again, at this phase, it's also important to provide immediate feedback. Is the learner actually run away from the lure and run away from the familiar person? You want to provide a huge reinforcer for that type of response. And if they don't, we do immediately give a no and give immediate feedback. Some considerations, again, for this group is the same. If the learner takes longer to master phase one, we do recommend to move to phase three, four, and five, move to phase two, three, and four immediately, or to teach phase one simultaneously with phase two and three. So that concludes my presentation for the day, and I hope this will give you some beginning idea of how to teach safety awareness skills, and that don't forget the type of teaching technique could apply to other type of skills that we talked about in the beginning of the presentation. One of the things that we are also working on continuously is to teach other type of safety skills, like I mentioned about earlier, you know, when to open the door to strangers or when not to, and how to cross the street or driveways appropriately or safely. So thank you very much for your attention today. And we can probably move to Shannon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After this survey, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal time to reach our equipment. Please tell us to the degree to which you agree or disagree with the following statements. Question one, this session provided me with education on teaching safety awareness skills to children with autism. One is strongly agree. Star one is strongly agree. Star two is agree. Star three, disagree. Star four, strongly disagree. And we will pause for just a moment. Question number two. This session informed me on training for both vocal and non-vocal learners. One, strongly agree. Star two, agree. Star three, disagree. Star four, strongly disagree. And we will pause for just a moment. Question number three. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. Star 1, strongly agree. Star 2, agree. Star 3, disagree. Star 4, strongly disagree. And we'll pause for a moment. Question 4. I would recommend this program to others. 1. Star 1 is press 1 if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. And question number 5, please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with autism. 1, that is star 1, I am the parent of a child with autism. Star 2, I am a family member of a child with autism. And star 3 is other. And we'll pause for a moment. Thank you for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you would like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program, or have any questions on today's topic, press star 1 to pose a question at this time. It is star 1 if you would like to be placed into the question queue. And we'll go ahead and take our first question. Caller, please go ahead. And caller, your line is open. If you would like to ask a question, please check your mute function.
Thank you. Hi. So my question is regarding a verbal child. I didn't understand where she was saying that there were four phases. They all kind of sounded the same. So could you just review very quickly the four phases for verbal kids?
Yes. So the four phases include the first phase. We do a discrimination training of pictures of familiar versus unfamiliar person. And the second phase we do we want the student to identify if they know the person or not, don't know the person. So phase one, the question is, who is this? And the learner we want the learner to say, that's mommy. And then for phase two, we want to say, do you know this person? Yes. Or do you know that person? No. So we want to to respond yes and no to pictures of known person versus unknown person. Phase three, we do the behavior skills training. So that's a really long phase that includes social stories, role play, and presenting four different kind of lures, and training them how to respond to different lures, such as say no and run away from the unfamiliar person if they say, you know, your mommy told me it's okay to pick you up. And then phase four is the in-situ training. So we take the learner out to the community and have an unknown person to present either one of the lures.
Thank you. That was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it is star one. If you do have a question today, that is star one. And there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Martin for closing remarks.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Dr. Tu, for providing such wonderful insights. Again, if you have questions about the therapies discussed today, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please note that we will be taking a break during the holidays, so be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Autism Awareness Seminar in 2015 on January 8th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you and have a great day.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. We do thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great rest of your day.